$4.4 billion on a fleet of trains riddled with problems. A commission of inquiry into the rollout of the new generation rolling stock trains, the NGR trains, has just been released. It's now in the possession of the state government, and I understand that they intend on taking before Cabinet or making a decision in Cabinet next Monday and releasing it straight after. The fleet has been plagued with defects, including disability access issues. The passageways are too narrow. The toilets are too small for a person in a wheelchair. We've seen many stories of the external doors jamming as they open or close at a train station. Now, you might recall that former District Court Judge Michael Ford was commissioned to lead the inquiry. Michael Ford, afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Steve.
You looked into the decision made by three different state governments, statutory authorities and departments that caused or contributed to the problems. What have you found?
Well, Steve, the report was delivered to the Premier this afternoon and Cabinet are to consider it. I'm not going to go into my findings today, but I just want to give you some background to what our task was. We were concerned about the lack of provision to allow people with disabilities to actually get onto the train and then use the facilities in the train and actually find their way to and from point A and B in the train and allow them a safe journey whilst on the train. And I think that a lot of people, it's not just people in wheelchairs, it's people who have perhaps arthritis. They might have to use a stick to get onto trains, and they might also find that when they get onto the train, there's not enough room to manoeuvre, particularly for people in wheelchairs.
Is that a fact? I didn't know that. So you found that to be the case?
Well, that certainly was part of our findings as to the difficulties for certain wheelchairs to have full access.
Okay. Were your terms of reference reasonable? Were they broad enough for you to get to the bottom of the issues that you were asked to look at?
The short answer is yes. We, in fact, if you look at the terms of reference, we were not only looking at who was responsible or contributed to the problem, but how to fix it for the future. And we were asked to look at the contractual side of matters and where the procurement process fell over. The procurement process in this case was a disruptive one. It was disrupted because of the length of time it took. It started in 2008 and first delivery was in 2017 of the rolling stock. We had changes of government. We had changes to the structure of the scope of the work from certain number through to 75 carriages. We had changes to the nature of the relationship between the contracting parties from an ordinary tender to a public-private partnership, which has its own complications. And we had also changes from who was running it, from Queensland Rail through to Projects Queensland, a treasury group, and then the TMR, who handle the final aspect of it and who are now looking after the rectification. So you had all of those permutations, which amounted to what I describe as a disrupted process.
It sounds extremely messy to me. Is that a fair way of describing the 10-year lead-up phase?
Too long, too disruptive.
My guest is former District Court Judge Michael Ford. He's led the inquiry into the new generation rolling stock trains. He's handed that inquiry report to the state government today. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. To quote a Yes Minister line, I hope I've got the quote correct, but governments come and go, but the public service stays on forever, Michael Ford.
Yes.
All this time of the difficulties and the changes and the different groups of government departments that were involved, the public service has always been there. Did the public service fully cooperate with your questions?
There was no difficulty there. As you realise, Queensland Rail is a separate entity under an act and not necessarily a government department, but they are still under the purview of the minister who is the minister nominated under the Act to be responsible for that portfolio. But people would still probably see Queensland Rail employees as public service employees, except for the structure that's involved. We looked at the governance issue too in relation to a lot of these types of procurement processes as well. It wasn't just looking at the actual failure to comply with the disability legislation, but why that happened and how it could happen with this day and age with what I describe as complicated structures in the public service area for this type of project.
The Transport and Main Roads Department were there the whole time. Are you telling me that they weren't the lead agency for the whole time on this project?
They were not the lead agency for the whole time. They took over probably as late as 2013 when the contract was signed in December 2013.
Was that a mistake?
It was an attempt to probably rectify problems up to that point by having a closer regulation or purview of what was happening. But by virtue of the change, as I said, from Queensland Rail to Projects Queensland to TMR, it didn't exactly make for a harmonious cooperative relationship between the various entities.
So there was tension between different public service bodies or working groups?
Correct.
And that tension created communication problems?
Correct.
And those communication problems led to the outcome we have today?
Not necessarily. It contributed in, to some extent, but as we've touched upon in the report, there was a failure to probably escalate the problems to higher levels of government.
My guest is Michael Ford, head of the New Generation Rolling Stock Inquiry for the state government. He's a former district court judge. Steve Austin's my name. This is ABC Radio Brisbane. So you investigated, Michael Ford, project milestones, technical specifications, sponsor arrangements and governments.
Yeah.
You're unable to tell me what you concluded, but was there a recurring theme that you kept finding came up again and again?
Probably delay due to the changing structures was one. In-house reports by independent people pointing out problems which were not necessarily completely acted upon. They were in some instances. Probably the lack of leadership. You mentioned leadership in your lead up on another issue. The lack of leadership at the certain levels of the those responsible for the project.
Well, that's interesting to me because ministers at a ministerial in our system of government, we have ministerial accountability. In the Westminster system, the ministers are ultimately responsible.
In theory.
In theory. But we know that ministers don't design trains. They leave that to the department.
Correct. And unless they're given the right information, they can't make the decisions which reflect the accountability.
So are you implying there that it may be that the ministers at the time weren't given the right information by their responsible department heads?
Not necessarily the department heads, but those at a lower level who were responsible for making sure that there was compliance with the legislation or seeking alternative ways to comply with the legislation.
Now, all the while, Michael Ford, this is underway, Bombardier, the Canadian company, are trying to deliver on their contract. Did they cooperate, and what did they say about this process? Did they comment on the workability of trying to work to this process?
The Bombardier were attempting to comply with the contract they signed. And because there may be other litigation, I'm not prepared to go any further than that.
All right. But Bombardier, as far as you're concerned, they cooperated fully with your inquiry?
Certainly with my inquiry, definitely.
The terms of reference allowed you to conduct inquiries and ask for and accept submissions, but not conduct hearings. I'm fascinated by that. This is new to me, Michael Ford. How did not having the power to hold public hearings affect your investigation or your inquiry, if at all?
Well, It certainly shortened it. We'd be going for 2 years if we had had public hearings.
Right.
There'd be no doubt about that if you look at the IBM inquiry in Queensland Health.
Oh, yes,
that
yes.
That sort of thing. Given that there was no adversarial system, so it was up to myself and those assisting me to draw up the necessary questions, and we had, you'd probably appreciate, tens of thousands of documents over 10 years to look at. So we drew up the questions, and so we actually asked, and some people may think we cross-examined some of the people, but we actually interviewed them. And there were only a couple of exceptions where people weren't fully cooperative in not answering the questions we were asking that touched upon the real issues. So even though the lawyers may not have had necessarily a picnic on this one, certainly the team I had from the public sector worked so efficiently, we were able to get the job done, not only on time, but I think in a very incisive manner.
For those people that weren't fully cooperative, what action, if any, did you take over that?
Well, it's not so much a disciplinary thing, but rather follow-up questions to, as it were, extract the information they may not give too willingly.
Is that going to come up again? I mean, is that relevant? If they weren't fully cooperative at the time, is that relevant, or did it just mean you have to find out things in a different way?
We had enough documents to make certain findings, even without certain cooperation.
Where is the buck going to stop, Michael Ford, for this?
Well, hopefully, if the recommendations are accepted, there'll be more accountability on projects like the Cross River Rail and other major projects, infrastructure projects.
Doesn't inspire confidence, Michael, if over a period of time involving different sides of politics, involving different government departments, most of whom are all still there, this doesn't inspire a great deal of confidence in major public projects in Queensland.
Well, the short answer is this, that if they implement this report, we'll go somewhere to getting more accountability.
Yes, but I'm wondering, it still doesn't necessarily inspire confidence in the ability of government combined with public service to actually deliver efficiently, appropriate dealings for a massive amount of taxpayer money.
Well, it's not just the public sector. Remember that independent experts are engaged on these projects.
Yes, and you think that the independent experts from the private sector did not acquit themselves terribly well either?
Well, once the report's allowed to be fully spoken about, and at this point in time, I don't want to preempt what Cabinet are going to do with the report.
Okay.
But what I'll say is this, is that it's not just the public sector involved here.
Yes. Now, one final thing. When the inquiry was first announced, and I think it may have even been prior to the terms of reference being revealed, just after the terms of reference being revealed, there was concern expressed, I think, by Campbell Newman or members of his former government, that to them they were worried that this was a sort of a stitch-up job because of the way that the process was structured. Can you speak to that? Can you speak to that at all?
No comment.
Were your terms of reference restricted around the activities of the Newman government in any way?
Absolutely not.
Were you given any writing instructions or discussions about the best way to carry your inquiry forward by the current government in any way?
Steve, if I was giving writing instructions, I wouldn't have taken the job.
Michael Ford, I really appreciate you coming on this afternoon. I understand you're walking a tightrope in this matter. Thanks very much for your time.
Good, thank you.
That's former District Court Judge Michael Ford. He's the person who headed the inquiry into the new generation rolling stock trains. It's just been handed over to the state government. My understanding from a person in the Premier's office is that Cabinet will make a decision about that report on Monday of next week, and will release the report publicly pretty well straight after. It's 4:30.